Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Good Friday morning with a void of course moon in the sign of the fish people like myself. So greetings to the fish people. I know there's at least one fellow fish person in the chat room here. So hello everyone in Massachusetts. I know we've got several people in Massachusetts listening this morning. And my gift to you this fine morning as I will skip over the New England Patriots deflated football debacle. That's a hard one for me to do. Okay, so good morning. Iggy, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing better.
Good. So, yeah, I think everyone's probably... people tend to be a little groggy when the moon's in Pisces, and especially when it's void, of course. I think everybody kind of feels like they are in the dream state at that point. Some of us fish people live in the dream state. It's just my physical existence is just a rumor at this point. So, be nice to Patriots fans. Okay. So, that's one thing out of the way here. Many things going on. We are going to have my friend and awesome astrologer Kim Rogers on here in just about 7 minutes or so. Kim writes, I've posted her bio and link on my Facebook page if you are so inclined to be on Facebook. You can friend me if you have not already. She's writing a lot of the descriptions for the Llewellyn publications, a lot of their calendars and their yearly guides and things. And I know she's working on some books. She has two awesome books that I have recommended to my people that attend my monthly astrology class, which is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Mystic Nirvana, if you are in the Central Ohio area. And say very intelligent and quirky group of friends of mine, and we talk astrology and spirituality, and sometimes we get into some politics and things. This month in our class, we will continue going over the energy shifts for 2015, and I have a handout for anyone who comes with all the major astrological events and whatnot that we'll be going through in 2015, and we'll be looking at the big influx of Virgo energy in the second half of the year, and I'm sure we will be talking about the Neptune-Saturn square, which is going on right now and for all of this year. And Kim and I will be talking about that in a while. Also, Kim has two awesome books that I've recommended to many people over the last several years. One is called Astrology for the Light Side of the Brain, and the other is called Astrology for the Light Side of the Future. And not only does she know her stars and planets, but she has that wonderful Sagittarius sense of humor. As you are, so it's like it's like Sag month for me. Like I'm the horse whisperer now. I had a Heather. I've got my producer across from me, Iggy, who is a Sag. Last week I had my friend Heather Renee Horton, who is a Sag, and today we have Kim Rogers again, who is also a Sag. So I'm going to declare myself the horse whisperer for the time being. So what's going on? We've got drum circle tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And also all of us are preparing for the Gift of Light Expo that will be in March. I believe it is March 14th and 15th. And we will be sharing a booth with our shaman friend Gary Heron, and then you can come if you've not been able to meet any of us in person. Iggy, myself, David Two Crows, Katie Singing Eagle, Ricky Dave, and
you,
and myself will be sharing a booth with Gary there at the expo, and I plan to have my new website, and I just got my new business cards yesterday with my new logo and my new company name, and I will, between now and March 14th, I will be working feverishly to get all that stuff finalized, and I will have brand new business cards and a new banner and lots of new stuff.
Do tell.
As with Saturn and Neptune, well, Saturn and Sagittarius, we are all kind of reinventing ourselves, and appears everyone in my network is feverishly working on new websites, and also on the With Insights network here, we have, I believe, three people in the near future that will start some, I believe, once a month, podcasts, radio shows here on the network as we continue to expand and bring in new and exciting talent that can help share you. Because, I'm just, in reality, I'm probably not some people's cup of tea in some levels. So.
Right. I mean, some levels.
On some levels. So.
You're good on my level. We have Adriana Arts with her show. Everything will be in February. It'll start kickoff in February.
Awesome.
She'll be doing the Lion's Lair. It'll be more like a safe place to share your thoughts and your emotions about how you're feeling about things. Then we have Dawn Thompson in the Gypsy Wagon. So she'll bring her Dawn of the New Era work that she does, her healing methods and things. And then we have Gary Heron. He'll be on Sundays once a month talking about what he does.
And I tentatively have Gary scheduled as my guest for next Friday. I know he was having to look at some scheduling conflicts. And I believe he was the guest on the Monday night show.
Yeah.
And so if you want to go back and check that out, you can go to With Insights Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And you can, all of the shows on the network are archived. And you can go listen to them at your leisurier.
Yeah, there's like, 9 years of content there, so.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yes. Yeah, so all of our shows are set up for download almost immediately when the shows are over. And so you can go, I know 11 a.m. in the morning is not optimal listening time for some people, but there is you can go back at any time that's good for you and hear our lovely astounding
voices.
You
can have them in your car.
Right, you can be
on the toilet.
You can be listening to me while you're sleeping.
Anywhere.
That's not a and see then if you listen, you can download, you know, listen in your car, and then work's not that scary after having to listen to me on your car drive. So you get to listen to me and deal with traffic, and then when you get to work, see, things don't seem that bad.
Yeah, they don't seem bad.
So yeah, so we have lots of exciting things, and I believe Sunday, February 8th, mm-hmm. we will be having.
Well, February 7th, we're having the Shaman Walk. And then February 8th, we have Ash Cave drumming.
Okay, is the Shaman Walk at Ash Cave?
Mm-hmm, at Ash Cave.
Okay, mm-hmm. So on Saturday and Sunday, February 7th and 8th, there is a Shaman Walk at Ash Cave hosted by Iggy and David.
Katie.
Mm-hmm. And Katie. So that those are always fun if you've not been to one of those. And then on Sunday, February 8th, I believe all of us will be going down to Ash Cave down in the Hocking Hills, and
should be fun.
Yeah, I think we're going to bring some food,
drum.
And we're going to bring some drums, and
this little fire pit.
Yep, make a nice little fire pit and have an outing.
Everyone's welcome,
and everyone is welcome to those events. Maybe. If you're coming on Sunday, maybe bring a side dish or snacks or something. I think everyone will be bringing some food to share about, and we will have some good spiritual fellowship and
that's right.
Get in touch with nature.
Good way to put it.
Kind of step aside from the rat race for a little bit and just enjoy nature. Get out, see the sights.
Let's
see the caves.
A celebration party, you know, before we head into spring.
Yes, yes, yes.
All preparation.
Yeah, and then we've got other things on the network too. Iggy and I have threatened in the past to do a sports show here and there, since we both watch and enjoy sports, and I've been a sports statistician on live and taped television and radio sporting events in the Central Ohio area since March of 1985. I've done that.
That's pretty cool.
So for 29 years, I have I do historical stats for Thursday Night Lights, which is shown on the CW on Thursday nights during high school football season. Mm-hmm. Bring you some of the best high school football teams in the area, and I have an announcer that I've worked with and been friends with since my senior year in high school.
That's cool. What does CW stand for?
You know what?
I used to know. I don't remember now.
Yeah, you know, we used to get into discussions on that. We'd spend hours trying to figure out what that would what exactly that meant for, and that's an abbreviation from. Mm-hmm. Because they had, it originally stood for something different. The network had a name, and then they stopped and just shortened it to the CW. I forget.
I'll probably look it up.
I think I finally, it actually took me quite a bit of hunting, because like they hit it pretty well. I don't know.
Cool.
Odd. So lots of excitement. Oh, let me finish that thought real quick, and then we'll bring the absolutely hilarious and knowledgeable Kim Rogers on.
Sounds good.
So this date might change, but tentatively for Wednesday, March 17th. Now it may fluctuate between. It'll probably need to be that day pretty much because everything else probably. But Iggy, for those of you who play NCAA tournament pools in your office. The brackets will be, and I know I'm way ahead of myself. It's still into the just past the mid part of the regular season in college basketball. But we'll be running down some of the teams. We'll be giving you some of our picks if you want help filling out your office bracket pool. And we may, when there are busy sports times and with things going on, Iggy and myself may jump on here and there and do a little sports talk radio show at our leisure. But we'll, in March there, the week of the NCAA, when the NCAA tournament starts after the brackets are announced, we'll give our so I'm a sports astrology geek, so I have notebooks full of hundreds of charts, and I'm already pouring over information, and yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous how much information I have gathered on stuff. So we'll be helping you fill out your office bracket polls there in middle of March, and we'll pimp that as we get closer.
Yeah, it's going to be, what, a shaman astrologer?
Shaman astrologer. Tournament bracket.
Tournament bracket.
I was thinking maybe we'll have to, like they do on ESPN with like Mike and Mike in the morning, maybe we'll have to have some kind of a challenge, like a...
There you go.
Like whoever wins the bracket, just we have a charity thing, not necessarily a financial donation, but...
Donate bread or something.
Right. Symbolic bread. Right?
You don't want to work, do you?
So we'll find out some fun stuff to have a little bit of fun with it and...
Okay.
Do that, and then you'll get to hear me tear my brackets up on air. Okay, so coming on now, we have Kim Rogers from Parts Unknown. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, doll baby. What's going on?
What's happening, my dear?
Not much. You know, I just got done poking around Facebook, of course. You know, got to start the day right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, actually, we talked a little bit last night, and she had a she was working at home all day yesterday, like I was, and she had a premonition that she had missed the show. She had lost. It's easy to lose track of days because, you know, like how my schedule is now too. It's like I have days where I have classes and events and readings and stuff, and then the rest of the time I am pretty much at home compiling statistics and numbers and information and preparing stuff for classes and readings and working on, I have at least 6 books worth of material I'm putting in order.
You.
So it's kind of a never ending.
You know, there's the world of your computer and your work, and then there's whatever else is out there, you know, and occasionally you kind of forget to make contact, so at least that's me, you know.
Right, yeah. Because I'm like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I've got to leave the house.
Yeah, I get to that point too. It's a big outing for me when I go to the grocery store.
Right, I know. It's like, what am I, Howard Hughes now?
yeah, I know, right? That's true. It's true. So anyway, so what's shaking there, darling?
Oh, it's it's busy. Everybody, there's lots of. I think the Saturn and Sagittarius energy is getting everyone to expand quite a bit, and so it's like everyone is busy. I think everyone's feeling Pluto is still square to the nodes, but we're past the exact of that for now, and it's like everyone's kind of everyone's feeling that call to get aligned with their, you know, their calling, with their spiritual path, and to get to where they need to be. So it's like everyone's redoing their websites and working on books and setting up classes, and it's
that's true.
A flurry of activity here.
Yes, yeah, it's true. You know what else I was thinking? I own Saturn and Sag, so I was trying to think of the positive, funny things that would come out of it because, you know, I mean, I am a Sagittarius. Anyway, and Saturn can be funny. I mean, just look at David Letterman. He's all Saturn and he's hysterical, so.
Right.
I was thinking, though, that there seems to be a trend, and I hope it continues, honestly, for a lot of us to get our news from comedy news shows, you know, like Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, you know, just before, you know, and Bill Maher and that type thing, you know. And I was thinking, I'll bet you that's Saturn and Sag. It's, you know, that's where, if we want reality over the next 2.5 years, we're going to have to start with, you know, the comics, oddly enough, huh?
Right, and I've seen that trend working this way, and it's really, I mean, and I, you know, my favorite comedian of all time was a Sag, the incredible Bill Hicks, who I've played some samples of his here before, and actually we're coming up on the anniversary of his transition over here in February, so I'll probably do some kind of special on him when we... he's been a big influence. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, Bill Hicks, huge George Carlin fan. You know, I'm a David Cross person too. So I've always really enjoyed the social commentary and, you know, political humor out of people like that. And even this will get me censored, but just in case my friends in Langley, Virginia aren't listening yet, if you're not awake yet, let me wake up. If you want to hear, and who shared this? Oh, my friend and probably a future guest, Katie Galanti, had shared this again a few months ago, but if you're of the conspiratorial mind, which I know many of you out there listening are. There is and I'll try to find it and repost it to my Facebook page later today. But if you want to hear something hilarious, another great comedian, Doug Stanhope, was on a comedy radio show a few years ago, and Donald Rumsfeld was the guest on it. And Doug Stanhope absolutely destroyed him. It was like the greatest, like this should go in the, it was so good, it should have gone in the time capsule. I mean, he kept asking him if he was a reptilian. I mean, it was his, I mean, I had to stop it because, I mean, I was falling over laughing. It was so hilarious. And like, of course, Rumsfeld would never answer or anything, but I,
yeah. You know,
I kid Donald because, you know, he's one of the...
I hear you there. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of...
He's one of history's biggest serial killers, so...
Yeah. Yeah, right? Well, anyway. Yeah, so I was thinking about that, about the Saturn and Sag, and I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty good, actually, because if Saturn has to be in the neighborhood, it's better when he has a sense of humor, at least. So, you know, kind of expanding the vision a tad.
Right. I mean, and too, you know, but as crazy as everything is right now, if you do not have your sense of humor in place, then, I mean, sometimes you just have to stop and laugh at stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. My God. Yeah, but I think that really if we want, well, I'm hoping it extends to government, but, you know, who knows? And that's probably a chat for another time. Politics, you know. Well, how about this last square? What do you think about this last Uranus-Pluto square?
Some phrases that I've heard that, I mean, it's kind of like emotional and karmic baggage dumps. And at each of these squares, you know, we're supposed to kind of, you know, dump our emotional baggage and you know, it's all about being in the now. And it's like, so much of the time it's like we're not present or in the now because we're, you know, there's some wound from the past we're dealing with or looking forward to vacation or to the weekend or to some, you know, it's like we're just not present. And believe me, I am not preaching here. I have been a horrible victim of not being present in the past, but I'm getting more aligned to where I'm in my physical body a little bit more, as I may have
Well, honey,
receive
you know,
some
all that Pisces energy and Neptune in Pisces, nobody should expect you to be in your body right now, you know?
Right.
Really.
Right.
I would assume you're trying to get the hell out of there as often as possible, you know?
Yeah, and Neptune is dab on my natal Mercury as well.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Well, I would definitely keep a notepad handy and be jotting down everything that I thought about because, you know, this is when your wisdom is going to come through. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's
square to my sun. Neptune is square to my sun right now. So we're having a bit of a conversation, me and Neptune.
Yeah, I went through that and... 2009, Saturn was in Virgo and was, I hope I have this, yes, I'm pretty sure Saturn was square to my sun. It was in 2009 and I had a job I'd been at for about 10 years at that. It was 9 years, I guess, early in 2009. And so the economy wasn't that great right then. So they cut our hours in the spring and then I had a big layoff in the fall, and then my car died, and I had to get a new car while I was between jobs so that I could go to interviews and stuff. So it was a challenging time for me, but, you know, I ended up, you know, increasing my pay. You know, I got a job, increased my pay, got a better car. So it all worked out. Like I was telling somebody, I was meeting with a girl who designed my new logo and stuff yesterday. Like I was telling her, like Saturn is like an auditor. It goes through each room in your chart or each house, and it kind of says, hey, this works. You set this up. This has a good structure. You can build upon it. This worked for a time, but it doesn't work now. This didn't work at all.
I think that's why when Saturn transits the angles, that, you know, that's when things tend to come to a head because, you know, he's basically, you know, those angles are like the, I don't know, like I always think of the midheaven as the roof of the house and the IC is the cellar and the ascendant as the front door and the descendant as the back door. So those are like the main beams in your chart, in your life, you know. And, you know, and I think of the house, houses as rooms in a house and you're the house. So I think when Saturn comes along and hits one of the angles, I think that's why it's especially potent because he's given it a good test, you know, given it a good shake to see if it's sturdy enough.
Yes, agreed. And just for somebody in the chat room had a really good comment on, I mean, we were talking about the comedians. They said his favorite is another Sag, and this is, this man, some of you younger people may not get this one, but Harpo Marx.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he was a Sag. Not that
I
remember him. You know, I just read about him recently, you know. That's it. Yeah. I'm far too young for that. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually own a copy of Animal Crackers, which is one of my favorite all-time movies. Just, I was a big Marx brother. I remember when I was little, I'd watch the Groucho Marx show on cable, the reruns.
Right. Yep. Well, that's interesting.
So I'm thinking as we're leading up to mid-March when we have the last, and that's our next real big energy bump. There's lots of stuff, lots and lots of things going on in mid-March. But I think that's our next big, I feel like we're doing like the last fine-tuning on things, and the last of the Uranus Pluto squares is on March 16th, but we also have a Saturn station on March 14th. Mars is conjunct Uranus on the 11th, and also at that time Mars is conjunct Uranus and it's square also the south node is square to Pluto. And
yeah, that's a pretty decent cardinal cross, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So like you
know,
were saying about the houses, the first, fourth, 7th and 10th house cusps, the traditional rulers are, yeah, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, and those are called the angular houses, and that's really when, you know, the cardinal signs are initiators, so really when Saturn or anything else is hitting those spots, it's really we're kind of called to get a move on, to initiate.
You know, I'm amazed at the similarities. I mean, astrologers, when we saw the Uranus-Pluto square approaching, I believe that we all thought, oh, you know, here we go again, you know, back to the Uranus-Pluto conjunction time, you know, when it was in Virgo, when they were in Virgo. And boy, is that the truth? We've got, you know, racial equality issues and, you know, all kinds of issues coming up. You know, basically, Uranus, I see as taking on an unusual, startling cause, you know, like legalized marijuana, marriage equality, and Pluto resisting and resisting and resisting and then finally pressured, you know, pushed. You gotta give it up. So I really think that's, you know, a big part of what's going on now. But the other thing that I'm hopeful about is that with Saturn and Sag, that strikes me as lawmakers. So I'm hoping now that the lawmakers will be called to account for what they do and don't do. And, you know, of course, I'm speaking of the Congress about that last part, you know, really.
Right.
I mean, let's do something. Come on. Lordy. So what did you think of our Leo president the other night? Boy, he was strutting his Leo best, wasn't he?
Yeah, I almost can't watch this anymore. I caught a little bit of it, but it's not just him, just the two major major parties.
I'm not even talking about it from a political standpoint.
I'm just talking about it
from his general mannerisms. I always watch for that, you know, and he was definitely a lion that night, definitely, and especially, you know, proud of himself. You know, yeah, I'm done running elections because I won both of them. You go, baby. All right. You know, this is a Leo on patrol. You know, this is my show. I was like,
right.
All right. Well, see, yeah. Well, Jupiter in Leo too. You know, which I love. I think Jupiter loves being in Leo. I really do. I think.
Oh,
I'd agree. Oh yeah. You know. I know about all the exaltations things we were talking about that last time. I think Jupiter might be exalted in Leo personally, or at least very, very fond of the sign. Because it's fun. And Jupiter, I mean, who loves to laugh more than Jupiter? So now it's, oh boy, I'm sure he's enjoying this. I know I am.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've been enjoying it too. And too, you know, of course, the traditional ruler of Jupiter rules Sagittarius, which is one of the other fire signs. So, you know, and that's one of the really good aspects that we have at some different points this year is we'll have a grand trine between Jupiter in Leo, Saturn in Sag, and Uranus in Aries.
Aries, yep.
Yeah, now,
yep.
I know Saturn's not quite close enough to Aries to actually form a grand trine right now, but I think later on in the year we actually... Nope, I am incorrect on that. I am incorrect. It is not until...
Yeah, I'm looking. It will be in July, I think. You know, June, July. Actually, it's going to be for a while because Jupiter is going to station there. So,
yeah, okay. Saturn's retrograde back into Scorpio.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know what? I don't know that Saturn catches up to Uranus actually.
Well,
but there will be
some
trines between.
I was looking at Jupiter and Uranus. Yeah. No, I don't think Saturn will catch up to Jupiter. No, it won't. I'm looking at it now. No, until the squares begin, that won't be fun.
So we do have March 10th, we do have Mars forms an exact trine to Jupiter at 13 Aries. And Mars should be at... Jupiter 13 Leo, Mars at 13 Aries. And that's at the same time while Mars is conjunct Uranus. And there's no spirit of... Yeah. I'll tell
you. Doing?
March is action-packed. March is action-packed. Wow. And
Saturn's
then on March...
Saturn's going to station right on my sun for all of March. Actually, he's already beginning the trek. So I'm attempting to make really good friends with him this time around.
Yeah, he did well for me. He did well for me last, because I just went through like a year and a half period where Saturn made an aspect to almost every single planet in my chart in like a year and a half. Because I'm all water, so when it was going through, I'm almost all water and earth, so it was making conjunction trine or sextile to everything in my planet, or every planet in my chart.
Right.
To about like a year and a half period. And now March 20th.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, on March 20th, which is International Astrology Day, I have a solar eclipse exactly on my sun. So if I disappear at that point, it was nice seeing you guys.
We'll send out a search posse.
Right.
Oh, my. Wow. So what's going on in the chat room? Are we jam-packed here today?
There's, we got a good handful of guests in there.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, my friend Allie there in Massachusetts added, Venus will be conjunct Uranus and trine Jupiter as well in March.
Yes, which sounds really good. I mean, what's not to love about Venus and Jupiter, right?
Oh, right, absolutely. And
yeah.
The solar eclipse hits right on Allie's sun as well, as her birthday is just a day before mine.
Wow. Well, that's something. Yeah. Big doings. Absolutely big doings. I am loving this Jupiter in Leo, though. I got to tell you, as a Sag, boy, oh boy, this is good times. These are good times, I should say.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, if you have that fire energy or resonate with it in your chart. And you know too, sometimes I found this a lot from all the sports astrology stuff. Sometimes like even if you don't have a lot of fire in your chart, if you're, you know, all watery or earthy, even if it doesn't hit well in your chart, sometimes that extra energy and enthusiasm, even if it's through some squares or in conjunctions, if you can get those in conjunctions to talk to each other, then even if those aspects may not hit great in your chart, you can still, you know, use that enthusiasm and that exuberance to help kind of, if you may naturally be if you're naturally kind of introverted or whatnot, you can still use that energy, even if you're not getting all these trines and stuff in your chart, to kind of boost yourself up and get some extra motivation.
Yeah. Well, I personally, you know, I've had nothing but trines lately, it seems, you know, from Uranus and Jupiter. And I'm kind of longing for a good old-fashioned square, getting my ass in gear, you know, because a lot of things you know, but everything's so good. You know, let me just go play luminosity games. You know, I'm waiting for... Well, Saturn's coming up to my sun. That's definitely get-it-together time. So, you know, I'm definitely forcing myself. But, boy, man, trines can make you so lazy.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Mark, you feel good, and it's like it's hard to... It's hard to get motive, you know. It is, because it's getting like a breath of fresh air, or if you're a fish person, being in a bathtub, you're like, oh, I can relax, you know. But then sometimes you let some of those really good transits go. And, you know, sometimes those squares and things, maybe you don't have all the feel-gooderies as the nice trines or conjunctions from Jupiter or Venus, but, you know, sometimes the... makes you get your buttocks moving, and you know, you get you,
yeah.
sometimes you get a lot more to show from some of those difficult aspects to than from the, you know, easy peasy.
Oh
work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you get your challenges, and then you rise to the challenge, and at the end you go, ha, I rock. that's what I do anyway. When something comes my way and I get it fixed, oh boy,
right.
That's a good feeling.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, because I'm definitely.
And that would be Saturn, right? You know, taking it down.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, because I really look when I've made some of the biggest improvements in my life has been, you know, maybe it's been a Mars square or Jupiter square or something. It just kind of kicks you into gear a little bit and you get a lot accomplished. So I'm already kind of feeling it because, like, I've got my Mercury's at 5 Pisces, so Neptune is sitting right on that. And so
right.
now Saturn is squaring that. So that's... you know, I can't even get rid of the constant urge. Like, I can't stop. It's like, I get agitated when I have to stop working right now. It's
uh-huh.
like, I'm so feeling the need to change and improve things and take that, the Neptune, you know, Mercury, Pisces, you know, imagination, dreamland stuff. I'm just feeling...
Right.
You know, it's a constant draw for me to take that stuff and get it into book form and into, you know, I've been
yeah.
going through my papers and all the numbers and statistics and charts and stuff I have, and I'm just
mm-hmm.
like constantly like organizing that stuff and getting it into digestible or communicative formats to where I can... I mean, this is maybe a shock, but, you know, having Mercury and Pisces, I may not have always been the most organized or best communicating fishy on the planet. So, but now I'm really I'm really feeling the need to get stuff in a format to where I can share and communicate, you know, more information instead of it just being random
sure.
fish in the
yeah.
pond that I can't get a hold of.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to keep it together myself. You know how Neptune is, though. She's so powerful in Pisces. I just think it's amazing. You know, everything is wireless now. So she set up shop when she was in Aquarius with the computer situation. And now we don't even need the wires. Now she's got us all, you know, torn down those boundaries between us. You know what I really love, though, is the cloud. How Neptune in Pisces is that, really?
Right.
You know, right?
Right.
I mean, what's the cloud made of? It's water vapor. It's perfect. And now that's taking off for a trend. It's amazing how often we, the media and, well, the media in general actually uses our own keywords to describe
yeah.
what's going on in the heavens above us. I've always been fascinated with that. Always amazed. Pluto had stationed at, back years ago at 15 Scorpio, stationed, okay, and when Salman Rushdie wrote the book Satanic Verses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And they put
that?
The death cloud on him. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was amazing. It was, I can't remember what the headline was on one of the news magazines, but it was all over the place, and it was all about Satan and evil and, you know, I mean, nuts. In general, you know, not that there is a Satan, but I mean the media was just using all these Pluto words. It's just, it really is amazing if you pay attention. Even a lot of the commercials that I don't watch on television tend to be geared toward what's going on right now in the heavens. It's amazing. If they don't use astrologers, they must at least have someone on staff who knows a little bit about it. Because,
right,
I
and I know.
With, yeah.
Go ahead.
The other night I was watching, what's the name? God, Major Crimes. And they did a 2-hour special. It's a cop show, basically. And they did 2 hours, and the whole thing was pretty much based on astrology. They had this nutcase, of course, who was burning the symbol for Mars into the walls. And everyone was saying, oh, that's the symbol for man. And I was like, nuh-uh, not only. And sure enough, it was astrological. And they actually brought in an astrologer on this show to go over everything, you know, with the police department, try to give them a little in. And she was accurate. I was waiting to hear somebody, you know, waiting to have her have a line like, well, you know, Neptune is up in Saturn's house or some kind of crap. But she sat there and she said, well, that's the day that Mars conjoins Neptune in Pisces. And it was. And I was like, oh, my God. And then she started talking about Saturn in Sagittarius. And then I realized, and I don't know if they did this deliberately or not, there was a character on that show who was a sloppy judge. He was a sloppy judge. He was eating a board and spilling things. And I was like, wow, that's Saturn in Sag right there, making a guest appearance. So it just amazes me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, now that you say, I forgot about that. Now that you say that, one of my friends had messaged me that the other day. It says,
yeah,
Annie Potts played the astrologer.
Yeah.
He said they did a couple of fights. She said at one point they had a, she had asked for a pot of ginger tea and for the lights to be turned down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
but
it was
really good. It says, yeah. Go ahead.
She also charged $185 an hour, so I'm thinking, you know what?
Oh, wow.
It's time to raise your prices there. But yeah, it was accurate. It was accurate. It was amazing. And I knew it, though. I had a feeling at the beginning when I saw the Mars. I thought, oh, see? And he's burning it in fire, burning it into a wall. So, of course, it's got to be Mars.
Right.
But it was accurately done. I was pretty impressed, actually. So
yeah, I know, because there's Penn and Teller had a...
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was...
Bullshit.
Penn and Teller... I think they're funny, but I do not agree. I know Penn is a Pisces,
mm-hmm.
and I find their stuff humorous, but they're very slanted. So this was just a total hit job because they had some goofy astrologer they'd gotten out of nowhere, and they had him do a party for people, and he was like trying to guess what their favorite foods were and everything. And I'm like,
yeah, I saw it.
And he had all these like funky 70s clothes on and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Perhaps I could use astrology to guess what people's favorite foods are. But why would I spend time?
I know.
Doing that?
I didn't understand that either. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And asking if you live near a train station or a university because you have Saturn in the ninth or the moon in the ninth or something. I was like, you know, seriously, that has nothing to do with the price of beans in Zimbabwe. You know, that's ridiculous. Just let it go there. Talk about something
right.
meaningful. Just, oof, boy.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Right, yeah. I mean, because I don't know about you, but most of the readings I have, it's usually people in crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
they don't
want
to play guessing games. They don't want to play guessing games with you. They want some advice. So the least
right.
we can do is give them that advice instead of babbling their face off with ridiculous comments, you know, about, I don't know, sexuality, too. He got a little rude sexually, too. But anyway, we are not often represented well on media, unfortunately. But this time out, we were, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I'm actually going to dash off a note to TNT and give them the thumbs up because they wait for my appreciation and my approval.
Right. As they do mine.
I thought you were on the list. I thought you were on the list. That's true.
I'm sure they've had many sleepless nights for waiting to get the thumbs up from us, from the astrological community.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And that's just not fair, you know. We just need to, you know, realize the impact our opinions have.
Right. Exactly.
Said Saturn conjunct the Sun in Sagittarius, right?
Yes.
Because we are We are important. We are very important. Oh, my. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have, we got several people in the chat room right now, actually.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, lots of
any
good conversation going, people sharing their charts.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So I think a lot of that, one of the things I'm seeing with the Saturn-Neptune square is because, you know, Neptune rules Pisces, Jupiter rules Sag. Previously, if you went back, Neptune was just fairly recently discovered. In fact, it's just now in Pisces for the first time since originally when it was discovered. I think it was discovered like 84 years ago or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to be, Jupiter used to be the ruler of both Pisces. Bless you, my dear.
Thank you.
Jupiter used to be the ruler of Sag and Pisces before Neptune was discovered. So I found kind of one of the issues, or one of the things that I'm seeing a lot, one of the common threads is like boundary issues. Because like Sag and Pisces both can have a boundary issue sometimes. Because Jupiter is the ruler of Sag, is the biggest planet, and it's all about like expansion. Anything it touches in your chart, it expands or balloons up. And then Neptune, even looking at the planet Neptune, its boundaries, its edges are a little fuzzy because it's surrounded by mist and fog. You know, very symbolic of Pisces, you know, very mysterious and whatnot. So sometimes, you know, Pisces kind of have, can have boundary issues. You know, I think Sag can have them with overextending their boundaries. Pisces can have them with not being able to define the boundaries. You know, where do I end and the other person begin or whatnot. So I'm really kind of seeing people going back and forth with like boundary issues, like trying to figure out proper boundaries on things. Like, am I overstepping? And like the people who are like really empathic and stuff right now, I'm seeing a lot of comments that are really just like they're kind of overwhelmed part of the time as they're picking up so much stuff that it's hard to keep those boundaries set. I know some of them were kind of feeling overwhelmed at the time, but that's one of the fun lessons of life is trying to figure out the boundaries and stuff. You know, where am I overstepping or where am I not taking control or whatnot when I should be, or where am I not setting clear boundaries
and
stuff.
All the big questions. Yep.
And
that's,
I think,
all
the
true.
Mercury in retrograde too, I think, is highlighting that a little bit now too, because Mercury's kind of making sure we're giving communicating with our internal messages and our internal needs, and also making sure that we're very clearly outwardly communicating exactly what we're thinking. And you know, so we're not saying, hey, meet me at Starbucks tomorrow afternoon. And it's got to be, meet me at the Starbucks on this street at 2:00. You know,
that's
one of the ways to kind of work through the Mercury retrograde, I think, is be very clear on exactly what you mean.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. This is definitely Mercury retrograde time. You know, I have a microwave that always breaks during Mercury retrograde, honest to God, and as soon as it's over, it works again. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I swear it's the truth. So I've almost thrown it out several times, and then afterwards, after Mercury straightens out, I give it a shot, and it never fails, works. So I don't know what's up with that. It's just kind of like living in my house to provide me with an example or something, you know, grist for the mill.
Mm. Right. So you had mentioned also that. Did you still want to talk about the Robin Williams thing?
Oh, sure, always. I can always talk about Robin. I love my Robin. Sure.
Yeah, so Kim has a really good article that she'd written on Robin Williams. I'm going to let her pimp that a little bit, and we will talk a bit about his chart and some of your findings you had.
Well, definitely we can talk about his chart. I haven't, okay, let's see. I don't know are you familiar with his chart? Because it's pretty similar to yours. I think we've mentioned this, except he's got the, it's pretty similar to yours, period.
It's very similar, yes.
Yeah. So, make with the funny. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like anybody
you know,
said.
He was, yeah, more, I do have a, I have a really quick little funny story to share about him. So, I'm sure this will be very obvious to people, but when I was younger, I went to a really small Christian school for 4 years. Yeah, but I know, very, very obvious, right?
Wow.
So this is really, so it was actually in a church the first 2 years I went. Then it was actually, the last 2 years I went, it was actually in a, and you can insert your own jokes here. I was actually in a mobile home. There was two mobile homes they purchased and stuck next to each other and kind of cut out the ends. So it was like one long building. So when I was going to this school, and I won't, yeah, I'm old. I'm probably older than most people think. So Mork and Mindy came out, and me and at least one of my friends were really into it. We watched Mork and Mindy all the time, and so we were, the bus driver was actually the pastor and the guy who ran the school. And so we were saying on the bus, we would be, you know, going Nanu, Nanu, and Shazbad, and, you know, using the key phrases from Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
And being a stern man, he didn't know what these things were, so he wanted us to explain and write out definitions of what these words were. And so we had to kind of make up definitions and things of what, you know, we're like, oh, one of them means hello, and one of them means... So
yeah.
that's a funny childhood. Yes. Huge Robin Williams fan from when I was wee little.
Yeah, he definitely was the man. He was the man. But I'm just, you know, I can't believe anyone could not take astrology seriously, could not, you know, quote unquote, believe in astrology, because it's just, it's always there. It's always there. And if we don't pick up on it, it's our fault as interpreters. It doesn't mean it's not valid, you know. But boy,
right.
In this chart, I knew before I even looked at it, there was a Mars-Uranus conjunction. There had to be. You look at him. He is all Mars-Uranus, all. Had to be. And sure enough, there it is. Mars is at 11 and Uranus is at 10 Cancer. And I was blown away by that. Also, you know, he did have that heart surgery, and although the sun traditionally, you know, owns the heart, Leo-ish, I think really Mars has a lot to do with the heart too, because, I mean, it's a muscle that pumps blood, okay? Sounds very Mars to me. And when he had this surgery, he called it a blown valve, which is Mars-Uranus, you know? I mean, to me, it sounded, you know, like he was talking his chart. But speaking of Mork, unbelievable, he has this grand water trine, okay, with the sun and Uranus in Cancer and the ascendant at 11 Scorpio and the moon at 9 Pisces. And so he arrives now, and also Mars conjunct Uranus, Mars the red planet. So he walks into our lives via the Cunninghams' front door in a red jumpsuit, that's on backwards, thank you very much, which is totally Uranus, okay?
Yes.
And he's got a trine on it. He's got a silver triangle on it. He just walked in wearing his chart. It was the most amazing thing to me.
Wow. Wow.
You know? Yeah. I know. The devil's in the details, you know?
Right. And he's also got North Node at 10 Pisces exactly conjunct his moon.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's really tough. And Venus, opposite Venus, conjunct the South Node at 10 Virgo. Wow, man.
Oh,
he did not
yes.
pick an easy job. He really didn't pick an easy chart this time. But anyway, I was just astonished at all that. And, you know, funny, too, that he had such great respect and appreciation for the military. And, of course, he's got a really tight sextile between the Sun in Cancer and Saturn in Virgo. And I could definitely see how he would just really want to back, you know, support the troops, support the military. And I'm just astonished at, I don't know, this is probably the most amazing chart I've ever seen or that anyone will ever see, I think. But, you know, there's just so much in it. Everything is twisted together with everything else and kind of like a chain reaction kind of chart, you know? Amazing.
Right. Yeah, and too, was talking about the love of the military there. He's also, his Saturn is right in his 10th house, too.
So he's
got that water grand trine, and I have a massive water grand trine in my chart, so his stuff really, I felt connected with him. I mean, that's why I liked him so much. And of course, when I was I don't know how old I was, it was so many lifetimes ago, however old I was when I when that show came out. I was a little older than that, actually, probably when it came out. I was probably 12 or so. But yeah, even, you know, that was two decades before I delved into astrology at all. But too, you just felt an instant connection. And I'm such a nerd. I've even, you know, if anybody wants to do a little, if you're kind of on the bubble with astrology, if you want to do a little experimentation, I have taken the charts of my favorite sports teams and found that they have direct connections to my chart. My favorite musicians, singers, actors, think of anything that, you know, that you can, charts that you can find, you know, access to, which there's some really good chart databases out on the internet. Look up your couple favorite actors or couple favorite singers or comedians, and I can promise you those people that you just instantly like, that they will have very and even though you know
yeah, strong connection.
I've never met
yeah.
Bill Hicks
yep.
or George Carlin or David Icke or Jimmy
yep.
Page or anybody else, you know, but there are those people that you really looked up to and enjoy their point of, you know, vibrate with their point of view or really enjoy their work, I guarantee that you will find that there are very close connections between their charts and your chart. And hence, that is one of the reasons that they're your favorite sports team,
absolutely.
Actor, musician, whatever.
You know, I think that applies to politicians, too. Anyone who's famous, if if you don't meet them, your first glimpse of them is on television or, you know, on the radio because you've heard their voice. If there's a click there, you know, it applies to everybody. You can feel it with everybody. I mean, it's just kind of like when somebody walks in the room and their Mars is square to your Mars, and you can feel it immediately. They don't have to say a word. All they have to do is walk in and sit down, and you're like, oh, something's up here. At least that's my experience. But anyway, though, he really did have quite a chart. It was definitely his time to leave the planet, too. I mean, things, you know, there's so many angular transiting planets, so many sitting on those angles. But the good news, the thing that really made me feel a little bit better about the whole thing was that the night before he died, or during the hours, and I'm sure it continued through the morning, there was the Perseids meteor shower and the supermoon. So the heavens were all lit up for him. And it, to me, it was like a giant welcome home party. It was like, come on, baby, let's go. You know, because you have to admit, the universe must have been, the planets, I picture them as individuals often, and I'm sure that they were absolutely besides themselves with joy when they finished creating Robin, because this is a work of art. This man is definitely a work of art, a celestial masterpiece, I think. And I think that when he decided he had had enough of this, I think they were tickled to have him come home. So I really think it was a welcome home party.
That's a beautiful way to put that. That's really awesome.
That's what I was thinking. It's just, it kind of warms your heart a little, like, there he goes. And he'll probably, you know, take 49 days and turn around and come right back.
Right.
Because, you know, he can't sit still.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So. Go towards the light, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've. I did this in one of my classes. Whenever this was, but one of the most fascinating sets of charts I've ever looked at is when the royal baby was born here, year and a half, got whatever. We looked at the chart of the. Birth and death of Lady Diana versus the birth of this royal child. And if this child is not the reincarnation of Princess Diana, which I believe it is, then it is that child is here to finish things that she had started. I did a 2-hour class pretty much just on the similarities between Diana's birth and death chart and then the chart of the royal baby that was just born.
Right.
Amazing coincidence or synchronicity. Sorry, I don't believe in coincidences.
No, I don't either. No such thing. Because they're all astrologically explainable. So, yeah, you know, I don't believe in them either. I am amazed sometimes at how how good the universe is at diverting our paths, you know, so when it feels that we need to meet someone, because I don't think any of that is coincidental either. So,
I don't either. We bring, because here's a astrology question I get a lot, and it's something that I had noticed too. Now I get it asked a lot. It's like people are like, why am I meeting so many Geminis right now? Or my last four boyfriends were Leos, or, you know, I'll get, and they're like, what's the point of that? Why is everyone I'm running into a Capricorn right now?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's a message. It's supposed to.
It is. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And even too.
Here's something. You know, I often find that transits to Mercury and from Mercury to one of your planets, I really enjoy them, and I keep an eye out for them, because I think the universe doesn't only send us serious messages. I think it also, of course, being a Sag, that would be my opinion, you know. But I think it also sends us funny little pokes, you know, little tickles. And what I noticed, this is really funny. My best friend in the world is an astrologer, too. And her name is Dorothy Morgan. She's on Facebook, and she rocks, by the way. And she's doing classes online. And you guys, really, she's a Gemini. Yeah, really, you will get your money's worth. Anyway, I was sitting outside one night. Now, Jupiter is trining my Mercury right now, which is, oh, my God, talk about a good time. Anyway, well, you know, Jupiter and Leo trine Mercury and Sag. Woohoo, party's on, you know, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting outside one night and outside on my patio with a couple of friends. And one of them, her name is Dot. She lives a couple hours north of here. And then another one, someone I just met recently, her nickname is Lulu. So at some point during the evening, I said, is that really your name? She said, no, my name is Morgan. Okay. And no, this doesn't dawn on me. I'm not putting these together. But About 10 minutes later, Dottie, Dorothy Morgan, calls me. She says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm sitting outside with Dottie and Morgan." And she went, "Oh, my God, are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's my name." And she happened to call while I was sitting there with the two of them. I'm like, "Oh, my God." So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the, I think the universe tickles us like that, too. Just to go, "Oh, here, here's a little giggle for you. Go on, go on." Especially when Jupiter's involved, you know. I think Jupiter, you know, I always picture him as having one hell of a sense of humor. So,
right.
You know,
also, you know, a conversation I had yesterday with somebody, I get, I don't know if you're familiar with the Ted Andrews books or anything. If you look into any of the like animal symbolisms or I get messages from animals. I mean they don't physically. But and this week it is right now it's owls. I have
owls.
I mean, you know, there's certain animals, you know, I see birds or squirrels or cats all day. And actually, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily, I don't think I'm getting a message from every animal I see, but when they go out of your way to make it noticed, or when one keeps coming up, it's like, you know, it's like there's a message there, and I, you know, I'll go and look up what the spiritual meaning is of that animal at that time, because I'm just getting inundated, and of course I'm going to say this, and all my friends are going to post these pictures on my Facebook wall, as always happens, because I had a spider thing last year. I'm still getting spider pictures posted, but right now it's owls. Because we were going to go, me and my GF were going to go hiking last Saturday, and we found all these places were too far away, and some of the trails were closed, and then we ended up going to this bird aviary, you know, just out of the blue, because there's a really cool little shopping hippie town called Yellow Springs, about an hour from here. So there's a bird rescue aviary place down there, so we stopped, and I got to see all these. Yeah, a lot of what they had was owls, and this one owl kept winking at me. So I'm like, "Oh, well, that's pretty cool." And so, of course, I've got like 20 owl pictures on my Facebook page. I took a bunch of pictures and shared them. And so then there's a extraterrestrial things are an issue that I talk with about a lot of my friends to keep that from going any further. So I'd gotten a copy. There's a movie called The Fourth Kind that came out a couple years ago, and I'd wanted to rewatch it because like a couple people had mentioned it to me at one point. And so I'd got a used copy of it for a couple bucks a couple weeks ago. I finally started watching it just a couple days after we went to the aviary and saw the owls. And if this movie, if you've seen it, one of the things is these people were being abducted, and but they kept seeing, instead of seeing the aliens, they were seeing owls. They were showing themselves as owls. And so I started watching it one night. I fell asleep. And so I go back the next day to I'm like, okay, let me go through the scenes. Let me find where I was when I fell asleep. And so it was scene three. And the third scene is called Something About Owls. The second, I have my finger on the play button to start it at that scene. And our common friend here, David, sends me a text at that a second I have it on the play button on the remote. He sends me a text talking about owls. Like the second I have my hand on the play button to start scene three, which is called Something Owls.
Yeah.
He sends me a text about owls, and I'm like, okay, there's I asked my spirit guides for three hits. I'm like, hey, I'm a little dense. I have Mercury and Pisces. If you want me to see something, give me. I want you to show it to me three times. So there was my there was my third hit. The last two coming at the same second, you know.
Yeah. It's true though. I mean, if you just pay attention, and this is one of the reasons that I firmly believe that outer planet transits start way. You know, a lot of people use really small orbs, like 3 degrees or something. No way. Uranus when Uranus hit 0 degrees of Aquarius, my moon is 5 and my sun is 4. And when it hit 0 degrees, my mother died suddenly and I got married suddenly. Okay. So, you know, I mean, there's absolutely no, and that's all that was going on with my moon. So, but I really believe that, if we have such an advantage astrologically, because we can, you know, we know what's coming up, so we know which signals to look for. And I really kind of feel bad for people that don't believe in it or don't use it, because you could have an edge on things and you could get through life a little easier. I can't believe people actually get married and vote for president and get on a plane without looking at their chart first. I can't believe it. It's astounding.
I know, but yet they'll spend hours planning out, you know, looking at weather forecasts or other things for, you know, insignificant things.
Yeah.
So, in fact, now that you say that, when looking even downterm down the road, my friend Allie there, who's in the chat room, who at one point we were... She doesn't want me to, but I'm going to share the story real quick. At one point, we had threatened to start a show that was, because she's a Pisces too, like me. We had and an astrologer. We had threatened to, we would end up on the phone at like 1 in the morning all the time, because like we both had insomnia for this period. So we were going to start a radio show, and it was going to be on at 2:34 in the morning, and it was going to be called the Insomniac Fish. Yeah. It was going to be some specific random number, and it was going to be called the Insomniac Fish Club.
That's great.
So we were going to steal a line from Fight Club. It was going to be no one talks about Insomniac Fish Club, so we could never get the show started because we weren't allowed to talk about it.
That's funny.
But we both have this thing happening in 2024 where Neptune is going to hit over our suns at the same time. So we're both expecting some kind of huge transition at that point. Not sure if I'm... I wasn't going to share this on air, but I'm going to. So I'm just completely babbling and ranting now. So one of my studies is missing people. I am fascinated by the charts of missing people, and one of my books is going to be just on astrology and missing people, and there are certain indicators and transits that come up in the 98% of, and I don't have the birth times on a lot of these people, so just going by, there's a particular transits and things in the natal chart of people who go missing, and I'm guessing one of the reasons that this has been an important issue for me is I fit every criteria that I've come across, and this will all be detailed in my book when this comes out. So that was just kind of one of those weird astrological things where I was just always fascinated by missing people.
No.
Like, where the hell did they go?
We're going to take care of that situation. I said, we're going to take care of that situation. You won't have to worry about going missing because you are going to go and get yourself chipped, okay?
Oh,
put a GPS under your arm, you know, on your arm, you know, on your wrist. Because we don't want you to go missing. We need you here on the planet, darling. So, okay? Come on, promise me. Promise your Sag. Come on.
I've told people that I'm going to have to shack up with somebody for, I'm going to have to be living, make sure I'm living with other people there. And July of 2024 is the real hot spot. Cause I've got like 6 crazy kind of, actually it was more than 6, but 6 major things happening at the same time. So it was like, somebody's going to have to chain me down and keep an eye on me. Like they used to chain Lon Chaney up in the werewolf movies during the full moon.
Which was just as well, really, you know. But, wow. So how are we doing for time here? I can't really tell.
About 10 minutes, sweetie. Anything else
good.
You want to...
Okay. No, I'm just wondering if anybody... Oh, no, I can always babble about astrology. That's not a problem.
No, me too.
I was just wondering if anybody in the chat room had any questions or any of that good stuff, because, you know, it's fun to play with the people, in my book.
Yeah,
anyway, you know?
Yeah, if anybody has in the chat room has a question you'd like, I don't know why I can't talk. Saturn square Mercury, that's why I can't talk anymore.
Really.
Limitations on speech. If anybody wants to ask a question, it's in the chat room. You can pop your question up, or we have time to take a call or two. If you would like to call in, the number is 646-595-3440, speaking very slowly and clearly as Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah.
So if you want to chat with me and Kim for a minute or have a question you'd like to answer, fire away and we will see if we can give you a reasonably short answer.
Well, I know Sandy Crew is out there listening, and I wonder if she might call in. Because she got to hear my voice. I think it's only fair that I get to hear hers, too. I have my Facebook page up, and I'm looking at the people that have commented on the, you know, what I posted today. Oh, isn't that funny? Talk about Mercury retrograde. I post the link that I'm going to be on your show today, and I post the announcement. I don't post the link. Oh, my God. How sad can you possibly be?
I had your back. I followed you up and posted it on there.
I know, because you're a good man. That's why. Boy, I don't know what I was thinking or not thinking. But I don't know. It's big doings, this Saturn stuff, at least on my son. But, you know, Saturn and I are doing really well together lately. And actually, yeah, really well. Really well together. He's been very, very good to me. So, I don't know. Saturn, apparently, if you do your homework and you're a good kid, then you get a popsicle. So, you know, a low-fat popsicle and a very small one, but still you get one, you know. You get a reward. It's cool. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, because Saturn does have a very bad and negative connotation to it. But you know what? I mean, it's not the most pleasant or the fastest moving thing in the world when it's going through your chart, but you know what? It helps you fix crucial things, you know? I mean, it let me get into some better situations that I wouldn't have been in. And that's one of the Pisces problems is sometimes we're able to put up with to mentally escape and put up with stuff sometimes for longer than we should. So it can be difficult to, sometimes we need a little, we need our fins twisted behind our back.
Yeah.
One of your friends asks, what are the consequences of Saturn opposing natal Uranus in Saturn?
And that would be Bill. Hi, Bill Pratt. How you doing, honey? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you have Uranus and Saturn conjunct natally, that's quite a dilemma. But the thing that I really like about Saturn and Uranus together is that it's almost like it's controlled. Carefully controlled rebellion and the ability to take all those, you know, those flashes of insight that Uranus brings us and bring them down to Earth and create them. So with Saturn opposite, I would think, with Saturn opposite, the two of them, I would think that it's time to get busy, to start working on exactly that, on making those innovations or inventions or the creative side of life, you know, making it a reality. And I think, too, that a lot of people are often afraid of the oppositions because they have such a heavy rap. But if you think about it, oppositions are made of the exact same astrological components as sextiles. So, and we don't have a problem with sextiles, so why should we have a problem with oppositions? You know, so I think they get a heavy rap, and I think that they can be very productive. And they do definitely work out in relationships, but I think you're at a good time. I think you can start to, I don't know, if you've got an invention or a new idea or you just want to make a major change career-wise, I think this is the perfect time to do it. I don't know. That's just me. What do you think, Mark?
I agree. And you know what? That I found recently the last several oppositions I've had have been really – I've not found bad things out of opposition. It used to be kind of neutral. Like some of them were good, some of them were bad. I've found that oppositions have been really good for me because I've always – you know, but getting some balance is usually a key thing that I'm needing to work on. So I found that these oppositions are really have been pretty beneficial for me overall. And we do have a caller from area code 630.
Oh.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Are you there, caller?
Uh-huh, yes, I am.
Is that Sandy?
No, Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I just want to know, what do you see for me job-wise? I'm looking for full-time opening.
What's your birthday?
I don't like to give that, you have to give, I can give the day and not the year, though. I can't give that on the phone.
Okay, yeah, okay, what's your sun sign, anyways?
Virgo.
Okay, well, if you're the first part of Virgo, you've got
last
Neptune.
Last day, 9/22.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I just want to know what you see for 2016 and looking full-time position.
In general for Virgos, especially if you're at the end, there's late this year and all of 2016 are going to be really big for the Virgo people because last part of this year, I think in October, Jupiter goes into Virgo. So even though it'll be a while before it hits your sun, having Jupiter in your sign, like we were talking about, even if it's not, you know, within tight aspect, having Jupiter in your sun sign is always good. And also late this year, the North Node enters Virgo, moving from Libra. So the North Node will be hitting your sun late in the year. I believe that's November. Late November when Saturn, or when the North Node enters Virgo. And then having Jupiter and the North Node both in your sign should definitely be of benefit. So I think everyone is kind of releasing stuff right now and formulating new ideas. I think the one thing for everyone through the middle of March is to kind of release baggage and karma that is no longer needed and start getting yourself in the situation to take advantage of things. And I think you see a definite bump up in energy late this year and throughout all of 2016. Anything you want to add, Kim?
No, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
Okay, caller. Thank you for calling in. And we have just about a minute left here. Any?
Okey doke.
I'm thinking if you want to set up a date here on the air, and you don't have to answer right now, but if you're available February 27th for your next appearance.
How about the 20th? Is that all right?
I've got the 20th.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Booked.
Okay. I was just going to say, because my friend Dorothy will be down here visiting with me, and I was thinking we could both chat. You know, you could hear the Sag Gemini opposition in person. But yeah, whatever. That's fine. The 27th. Yes. Done. You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds
darling.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Thank you for being on.
Have a good day, honey.
Sure.
You too, sweetie. We will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, Al.
Okay. Bye, sweetie. Okay. That was my guest, Kim Rogers, and she will be a monthly guest for the as long as she'll put up with me. So, thanks for listening, and I will post who my guest will be next week with Gary Heron, if he is still available. And we will go from there, and have a great weekend.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
Mark, time to return to the ship.